back on the Andy Finn Show, and we're talking about my mother, Ruth Finn, because this is the 25th anniversary of her passing. And one of the most important things to know about my mom is that she had a very deep faith in the Lord. I was raised Catholic and grew up in a good Catholic family, and she and my dad were unwavering Catholics. And, you know, they grew up in the Depression, and they raised 8 kids. And whenever Mom talked about religion, she always said, I couldn't get through life, the life that I have, without the faith and the guidance and the good graces of the Lord. And my dad had survived a bad carbon monoxide accident when they were first married. This would have been, I suppose, 1940, and he absorbed more carbon dioxide than any person ever had and lived. Doctors came from around the country to see this case, and they told him, Mom, he wouldn't live, and he lived. Then they told him, he wouldn't be right, and he seemed okay. And then they said, you shouldn't have kids, and they had 8 kids. So her faith was just that much stronger after that. And so, of course, we went to church every Sunday. And as I say, my sister Maureen became a St. Joseph's nun and a missionary. She worked first in the South and then moved to Brazil almost 20 years ago now. And my brother Dan is a theologian. He teaches at St. John's University. And I was in the seminary myself for a few years and considered becoming a priest. And so Mom had a huge impact on all of us. And this is not a bad time to introduce my siblings. As I say, there were 8 kids. So by way of biography of my mother's greatest hits, as it were, my sister Judy is the oldest, and she was born in 1939 and lives in Denver now. My brother Tim lives in Webster, and he took over the family business, the Finn's Garage. He was born in 1941. My brother Mike lives in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and he was born, I think it was 1944. And then Dan, who I mentioned, lives in Minnesota. He was born in 47. Maureen, who's in Brazil, was 48. I was born in 1950. My sister Bridget, who lives in Webster, New York, our hometown, was born in 52. And my brother Billy, who lives in the next town over, was born in 54. And so when we were young, there was a lot of action going around. There was a lot going on in the household. But I remember that Mom found time to run the Thanksgiving clothing drive of several different years, because she would take us kids with her, and we'd go up to the church basement and sort clothes. And people delivered boxes and boxes of old clothing, and you couldn't send every stupid thing people gave away to Africa or to wherever it was all going. You had to send practical clothing, and so you weeded out the stuff that it didn't make sense to box up and send on. And in 1963, it was a particularly memorable clothing drive because John F. Kennedy was assassinated while Mom was running the clothing drive. And I still remember, you know, most people that were alive then and remember it talk about watching television for 4 days. And it's true, you did. Well, we watched it in the church basement, and we had a little portable TV, and it was the size of a 15-inch computer screen, probably, maybe smaller. And she took that up with us and plugged it in, and we were riveted by it. We were trying to sort clothes, but I saw a lot of the Kennedy funeral and funeral preparation coverage on that little black-and-white TV in the church basement while we went ahead and dealt with the clothing drive. The other memory I have is related to Mom's faith and the Catholicism that I was brought up in is Christmas. Christmas was wonderful at home. My sister Bridget talks about this often. You know, of course you have Santa, and that's great when you're a kid, but once you no longer believe in Santa Claus, it's nice to get the presents, but there has to be more to it than just Santa once you're past the age of 8 or 9. And so Christmases were wonderful just because of all the traditions we had. We always did family presents on Christmas Eve, meaning the brothers and sisters gave out their presents. And we'd start with the youngest. So whoever was youngest, or Billy, by the time we had 8 kids in the family, would give his out first. Because, you know, when you're little, you don't get much for people. And then Bridget next, and then me. We went right up the line. And then the oldest kids who gave out the best presents would go next. And we had presents for Mom and Dad, and Uncle Gordon was usually there. My dad's brother, who was a bachelor and came home for Christmas most every year. And he always got us one big present. He stopped getting us individual presents. So he gave us a variety of things. He gave us a huge nativity scene, what we call a creche today. We never used that term back then. It was a huge nativity scene, as big as some churches have. The wise men stood about 15 inches. The camel was huge. And the crib itself was required the box the size of a television to put it away. It was quite large. And he gave us different things, one big gift every year instead of little things. But we'd give out family presents on Christmas Eve, and then Santa would come on Christmas Day. And when you're little, you didn't think to ask, but Mom and Dad never gave out any presents on Christmas Eve. And we didn't ask why. We just figured that's the way it was. But it turns out they were Santa. And then Mom also did something else. She always ordered a birthday cake for the 25th, and none of us had a birthday on the 25th. She always had Utz Bakery write on it, "Happy Birthday, Baby Jesus," and we had a sheet cake for dessert on Christmas Day, because she always wanted us to remember why we were celebrating Christmas. It wasn't about the presents, and it wasn't about Santa or the tree. It was about the baby Jesus. And when you got older, you could go to midnight mass. If not, we would get up the next day and you go to mass. Of course, first you get up and do presents. Kids get up pretty early, you know, 7, 7:30. And then Mass would be later. It'd be the 11 o'clock or the 12:15 Mass. But sometimes, as you got older, we went to the midnight Mass services. And those were always, the Catholic liturgy is wonderful. It's so rich and so full of symbolism and meaning that I still enjoy getting to Mass, particularly a midnight Mass, a solemn occasion like Christmas or Easter. And then I should back up from Christmas Day to Christmas Eve again, because there's one more thing that is a family tradition, I suppose you'd say it got to be. You, in the Catholic liturgy, you have an Advent wreath at home. And so every night during dinner, you light one of the candles. There's four candles, and it's a circular holder, and you put pine branches around it. And the first week of Advent, you light the first candle. In the second week, you light the first two. And the third week, all three. And then the last week of Advent, you light all four candles. Well, on Christmas Eve, it's the last day of Advent, that is a preparing for the coming of Jesus. And so on the last day of Advent, you aren't going to use the wreath anymore. And so you extinguish the candles, and we had a tradition. I don't know if the church started this, but we had a tradition of having a minute of silence. So you turn the lights out, and then you blow the candles out, and you sit in darkness for 1 minute. And of course, the kids are all waiting to open the family presents. So as soon as dinner ends, and as soon as the dishes get cleaned up, we go in the other room, and you start ripping open the presents. So that was what we were all looking forward to, but we'd have this minute of silence, and we'd sit there, and 1 year, for some reason, some kid said something, maybe they burped or farted or did something, but Mom burst out laughing. And she started laughing, and it got the other kids laughing, and it ruined the minute of silence, you'd have to say, although it was, you know, there was nothing wrong with it. And so, almost every year after that, it seemed to happen again. It was like Mom knew on cue that it was going to happen. And she would start giggling or actually start laughing. And my dad would get mad, and he'd pound the table and say, "Hey, Ruth, come on, this is serious." And Mom just, that minute of silence with eight kids waiting to open presents was just too delightful, and she could hardly contain herself. So that was Christmas Eve at the Finn household. I guess the other thing I want to talk about a little bit is Mom's resourcefulness. She raised eight kids and kept a household on a fairly limited budget. Even though Dad owned a gas station, it's not like you made money hand over fist back in those days. This would be the 50s and 60s. They did okay, but she had to watch the money to make sure she could pay all the bills. And so Judy talked to me a little bit, my oldest sister talked to me a little bit about mom's skills, her organizational skills, and her ability to do things. And so let's listen to the first clip from my sister Judy about mom's organizational skills, particularly how she organized cleaning around the house.
Her organizational skills, and I think that I probably learned a lot from that and probably inherited some of it, and I suspect I'm not the only one. And for example, like cleaning the house, I don't feel like we ever had to do a lot of work. We never did more work than a kid should do. But like you may remember, on Saturdays there would be a list of chores, who would do what, and the older you were, the more complicated cleaning chore you got.
Uh-huh, right.
And if you were only 3 years old, you were asked to empty the waste baskets.
But you were asked to do work at age three or four, weren't you?
And you probably remember the spick and span parties.
Very well.
Sunday nights. If she was entertaining, which was her ladies' clubs, which was only, I think, twice a year, maybe three times, after we got home from school that day, we would have to whip into action to get the place shaped up. And she would call it a spick and span party, and nobody laughed. Now, I think if I told my kids we were having a spick and span party, they would say, right. But everybody would accept their bucket of spick and span and their assigned dirty place to clean and get after it.
Yep, it would be the dirt on the fingerprints on the handprints on the door jams everything, the walls. And
yep.
Well, and I remember, now you're a few years older, by the time I was old enough to remember these, it had been routinized, and it was every Sunday night. And there was no dinner on Sunday nights. It was the only night of the week Mom didn't cook. We had popcorn on Sunday nights. We had the big meal was at breakfast or brunch, and we'd have a sandwich at, you know, mid-afternoon or whatever. And then we have a spick and span party, I seem to remember, 5 or 6 p.m., and then popcorn was the big deal after the spick and span
after
party.
After my time.
Pardon?
After my time.
Yeah, okay. And by after her time, she means after she moved out of the house. Well, that's my sister Judy, and when we come back, what we're going to do is talk a little bit more about Mom's resourcefulness, and Judy has another story about Mom's planning ahead and about how she went about paying the bills and teaching us how to pay the bills.